Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday night service. And we hope that you've had a great start to the week. Okay, for our introduction, a message this evening, let us pray. Okay, dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your leading us in these times, you feeding us with your word, and that keeps our heart on fire and seeking from you, learning how to ask of you and receive, learning how to knock on the door and have it be opened. God, we pray for the service tonight. A few words. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I was blessed by last week's messages about the Father's Day and different thoughts. So good. And in many ways, it's a reflection of how God is our Father. And in Matthew chapter 7, I'd like to read one verse. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Okay. All right. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Okay. Somehow this verse was speaking to me through the week. And God doesn't embellish things. He just says things as it is. If you then, being not nice or great, awesome, it's like being evil, which is the deep, the sinful nature that characterizes each and every one of us, but we still know how, even in our selfishness, to do good things for our children. How much more shall your Father in heaven, who is in who can give good things to them that ask him. So our the even our moral goodness actually should point us to how good and how great God is and how perfectly good he is. Everything that we think and do, it seems God wants us, it ought to be in the sphere of what God is thinking and what God is doing in this world. Yeah? So I'm going to read a psalm, and maybe this some thoughts from this verse will connect. Psalm 127. You can go there in your Bibles, and we'll be through. Okay, Psalm 127. I'll read through all the five verses. Okay, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. So, unless God do something, there is little purpose or little reason or motivation to do something, because it won't last. Yeah. So in and so much of how do we know what God is doing, except we hear him from his word, the preaching of the word, personal devotional, And if we hear him, then we can, he can also show us what he is doing in this world, how he is using the situations in our life. And that becomes the basis for what we do, how we think, you know, personally. And except, you know, have you thought of like prayers? I'm sure you may have prayed like this. Except God do this, I don't want it. Except God give, we don't need it. It's a, it's not a normal or a natural way to think. It's a spiritual way to think. A born-again believer is able to think like this. Yeah. How did God build the house? First, he laid the foundation. And that foundation was Christ himself. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm building as a wise master builder, and the foundation I have put, which is Christ, and the victory that he has won through the cross, that's it. No man can put any other foundation. But let us build on this foundation. And so we grow in our lives with God. And so we invest in other people or in our own families, in a, parents investing in their children. Yeah? So let's go to verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. This is speaking of someone who is hardworking, who is doing everything in their hands to make it happen. And how much of life is like this? You know, you try your best. But the psalm is saying that the believer has something. Your life is bigger than what you can make of it. End of the day, when you put your head on a pillow and sleep, there is peace, there is contentment, there is joy, satisfaction, not just because of you stayed up late or the things you could do on your own, but that in the heart, God is motivating you and God is like refreshing you with his thoughts. Yeah? So look at verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So, I mean, yeah. Caleb, yeah. We have big Caleb in the church. Yeah, and now he has a younger brother, Asher. And it's the heritage of the Lord. It's a gift. I thought for quite a while why the word heritage is so easily connected with the word child in the Bible. And if we... A good way to look at the word heritage is whatever is passed on to us in life form, not methods, not methodologies, not formula, just follow this step by step, you know, one formula for everybody. But what is passed on to us in life form is heritage. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. Okay. And verse 4, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Who is this mighty man? Is this you? Or is this Christ in you? Let Christ be this mighty man in our lives, personally, individually, and even corporately in the body. And... you and I are like these arrows, children, God's children, whom he can prepare any which way he wants. Yeah. And verse 5. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Okay. So, speaking with the enemies in the gate. Another translation says subdue. There is like an enemy at the gate. Gate is a place of authority. Gate is where all the action happens. And there is the enemy right there. And how are the children equipped to speak, to discern who the enemy is, to know that the enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemy is not my brother who's sitting next to me, you know. But the enemy is a spiritual one. He's an angel, Satan, and his demons. The enemy is the system of the world. The enemy is the own deceitful sin nature in us. And the thought is how beautiful it is to see someone able to answer the enemy at the gate, because God has built the house. Christ has built the house. You know, the Father has equipped and prepared his children, and then the child or the children are able to answer. Because I think in this whole world of Christianity, there is also like children who are not able to answer the enemy at the gate. They're not even able to discern the enemy at the gate. So there are both kinds. But definitely God wills that we are able to experience our lives as overcomers and have no situation in our life where it is ruled by fear or anxiety or stress, but have it be overcome by love, by the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. So that's the thought. I hope that blessed you. Lord, we pray for the message to follow by Pastor Anil. We pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday evening service. It is just so great to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? Just to understand that we are loved by God, as we heard on Sunday, that God is our Father, He is our Heavenly Father, and He loves us and He takes care of us. And let's have an anticipation from God this evening as we hear His word. So the reading for today is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learnt and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you that, Lord, you love us and you care for us. and you desire to speak with us, Lord. Speak to us personally now, Father. Minister to each one of us. Give us a word in season for our lives this evening as we hear you. Quicken our physical bodies, our tired bodies. Give us concentration, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this evening, I would like to title this message, Be Anxious for Nothing. Be Anxious for Nothing. Now, as we look at this season of COVID that we have been in, it has been characterized by two main things or two main effects which we can all say yes to, and that is fear and anxiety. There has been fear on every side that we should not get the virus, and then there is anxiety. Anxiety has been because of many things. There have been loss of jobs, the anxiety with respect to working from home. Exams have been delayed or postponed. We are thinking about the future of our children with respect to the academic year, schooling, college, and also church. Our whole schedule has been changed. Now, this is important today that God has given us a mind, and it is a beautiful gift. And in the mind, we have the ability to think, we have the ability to reason, we have the ability to understand things, to imagine, to visualize, and also to calculate. And just an example we see in Matthew 6, very interestingly, not Matthew 6, sorry, John 6. We see very interestingly in verse 5, then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. So it's very interesting that Jesus says something. There are the 5,000 people. Jesus is saying something. Let's buy bread for them. Philip hears it. After Philip hears it, he processes what Jesus has spoken in his mind. And he makes a quick calculation. There are 5,000 people. How much money do we have? And the answer comes out of his mouth. Lord, 200 denarii worth is not enough to feed. Where is that happening? It was happening in his mind. He gave a logical answer. So we could say Philip was very good at arithmetic, right? Or math. And what do we see here? That all of us have a mind and we are constantly thinking. And there are two inputs for our mind. There are two inputs. The first one is our eyes, what we see. And the second one are our ears, what we hear. So for our eyes, the first example in John 9 we see, it's very interesting. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's interesting. His disciples are with him. They see a man born blind. They see something. They see something and they take it in their mind and they reason in their mind and then they ask a question to Jesus. So there is a process. There is a feeding from the eyes into the mind. There is a process and then they are speaking to Jesus. So the eyes are the first input for our mind. The second input for our mind are the ears. In Mark 4:37, we see they are in a boat. There is a storm. And what is happening? They are hearing the storm and they are also seeing the storm. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat. They are hearing it and they are seeing it. And in verse 40, Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful?" So what they heard and what they saw was processed in their mind, and it produced fear in them. It produced fear in them. Another example is Peter in Matthew 26, 69. When somebody says, "You were also with Jesus," he hears that. He quickly processes it in his mind and he says, "No, I was not." Why? Because he has calculated that if he says yes, he can get into trouble. So we see what feeds our mind is our eyes and our ears, and then there is a processing in the mind, and what comes out is a corresponding effect, and that effect can be anxiety, that effect can be fear, or it can be in a positive sense. And what we see today is one of the things you and I, we are constantly feeding ourselves in this season, is what the newspapers, articles from the TV, WhatsApp articles, social media, etc. And what is it doing? Rumors. It is producing anxiety in us. And where is that? In our minds. Now, one of the humorous and most common things which happen in our building is, as soon as the internet drops, everybody starts messaging. It produces anxiety. Why? Connectivity is a big issue today because we are all working from home. So connectivity, that's become the buzzword now. Do you have good connectivity? And so we are going to see through this message what God is trying to communicate to us as to how we shouldn't be anxious for anything and we can have a peaceful mind. Now, when the Apostle Paul is saying this, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, before that we need to understand something. In Philippians chapter 1, he says this. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So, before we understand peace and how we can have peace on an experiential sense, in our first point, we need to understand peace with God in a positional sense. Peace with God in a positional sense. And that's mentioned in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is talking about peace with God in a positional sense. Now, before Jesus went to the cross, we see in John chapter 14 and verse 27, this is what he said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in John 16 and verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he is telling his disciples that he is going to give them a certain kind of peace. And he is foreseeing it because he's going to be arrested and they are going to be troubled and they are not going to be at ease. But he is going to do something for them. And what was he going to do for them? And also later on it was for us. He was going to obey God the Father's plan and accept the plan and die on the cross. And by dying on the cross, he was going to take all our sins and their sins on him and the sins of the whole world. And he was going to become our sin bearer. He was going to be the substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. And when Jesus died on the cross, we see God the Father put all our sins on him, past, present and future, of the whole world were put on him. And the Bible says he died, he was buried and he rose again. And in Colossians 1:20, he made peace through the blood of his cross. through the blood of his cross. And in Romans 3:24, it says this. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. So the divine wrath of God the Father against sin was totally satisfied by the work of Jesus Christ, his Son, on the cross. By his death, his burial, and resurrection was totally satisfied. And now, through the gospel message, what happens? When an individual hears the gospel for the first time, or maybe the nth time, and receives Jesus in their heart, what happens? They are given a position. And what is that position? You don't feel it, but it is declared in the Bible. And that position is, you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That means, from the time you get saved to the time you die or you are raptured, we can never be enemies of God. Never. We have that enmity, that relationship of enmity has been changed to a relationship of reconciliation. And we have what? We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Now the question we have to ask ourselves as we think of Christianity, as we think of Jesus dying on the cross, as to when did this happen? When did this happen? This happened 2,000 years ago, that Jesus died on the cross, and the Bible was written in the first 100 years, and now the gospel has been preserved and it came to us at a point in time. But when did God think about us? In Ephesians 1:4, the Bible says that we were chosen in him before the foundations of the world. This is excellent. This is really excellent for us to understand. Firstly, that in Ephesians 6, I think it is verse, I'll give it to you. In Ephesians 6 verse 15, it says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel message is a gospel of peace. When we hear the gospel message, it brings us to a place where we get reconciled to God, because the sin issue is removed through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, when he said it is finished, and it is removed once and for all. And we have this position now with God. And what is that? We have peace with God. And as Pastor Benny beautifully said, the relationship of a human being, an unbeliever, being before God the judge, after you believe in the gospel, immediately as you believe in the gospel, that relationship changes from creature and creator to now one of son and father. And God becomes our father, and we are placed in his family as adult sons. And this is our position. We have peace with God. So this is very important for us to understand before we get into Philippians 4, that is our position, which was given to us once and for all. And it doesn't depend upon how we feel or what we are going through. It is an established condition forever and ever. And what is that? We have peace with God. That's our position. Now, in the second point, we come to Philippians chapter 4. And this, the grace of God and the love of God doesn't stop at just giving us a position. God is not saying, okay, I've given you a position, and that's it. But in your experience, nothing is going to happen. No, God not only gives us a position, but he also wants to give us an experience of peace. He wants to give us life, and he wants to give it abundantly in John 10:10. And this is what he says in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. It is a command. God is saying, I constantly command you to be anxious for nothing. present imperative active. Be anxious for nothing. Then he says, but in everything, what is it? In everything by prayer. And this is the first word, which in the Greek is the word prosuche, P-R-O-S-E-U-C-H-E-E. Prosuche. And what it means, it is the general word for prayer. Any kind of prayer is spoken of by this word. By prayer. Any kind of prayer. General word for prayer. By prayer. And what else? The second point. And supplication. This is the word in the Greek called deesis. D-E-E-S-I-S. And what it means is, it means asking for a specific thing or asking for particular benefits. And this word in the Greek was used either asking from God or asking from man. Deesis, right? Asking for a specific thing. Therefore, this word prayer, prosuche, is the most sacred word, because the word supplication was used for God and also with man. So, with prayer, general prayer, supplication, specific points, specific requests. Then what else? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. This is the word Eucharistio. And what does it mean? A Eucharistia. It means to give thanks. And as I said before, that when we come before God in prayer, we have much to thank him for. And if you and I cannot think of a single point to thank him for, we can start at the cross. We can start for the greatest gift that he has given us, which is salvation. That is incredible. We can start there. We can start there. Today we can thank God for Felix and Sharon's new son, Asher. We can thank God for that. Right? So many things, so many prayers God has answered in the last 3 months. We can thank God. So giving thanks, right? Giving thanks. And then it says, let your requests be made known to God. Now this word request is the word itema, A-I-T-E-M-A, itema. And it also means specific things. And for many, many years, I used to wonder, why did God put two words for specific things? Why could a God have just said prayer, supplication, thanksgiving? Why did he put requests? Right? Because request is also asking for a specific thing. Now, it's very interesting, as I looked into the word, this word itema, A-I-T-E-M-A, comes from the word aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. And this is what it means, and this is, the meaning is important. The seeking from the inferior to the superior. The seeking from the inferior to the superior. And this word itema is only there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And also it's there in 1 John 5 verse 15, where the word which is used is petitions. Now, what does this mean? Seeking, the seeking from the inferior to the superior. In Acts chapter 3 verse 2, there was a beggar who was asking alms. So the beggar is inferior and the giver is superior. In Matthew 7 verse 9, when a child asks a parent, the child is inferior, the parent is superior. And then when a man asks from God, in Matthew 7, 7, Jesus thought, ask and it shall be given to you. James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. Seeking from the inferior to the superior. In 1 John 3, 22 is also there, the word ask. Now it's very interesting that when Jesus prayed, he never used this word aiteo. He always used the word E-R-O-T-A-O, erotao. And what does that mean? It talks about equality. So whenever Jesus prayed to the Father, he used this word, erotao. And in John 17, 9, in John 17, 15, and John 17, 20, he used those words. That means when he was praying to the Father, he was praying to the Father as an equal. But when he taught the disciples to pray in John 14, 13 and 14, he used the word aitio, seeking the inferior, seeking from the superior. Now, this is just a side point. And why am I saying this? That we must understand that when we pray as to who God is, we must understand that. Who is God? Who is this God? In Hebrews 1, 1 to 3, the Bible says that in the last days, God has spoken to us through His Son, who is the heir of all things, the inheritor of all things. In verse 2, through whom He made the worlds. So it talks about Jesus as the creator. Then it talks about and upholding all things by the word of His power. In verse 3, talks about Him as the sustainer. When He had Himself purged our sins, talks about Him as the Savior. He has sat down at the right hand on the majesty. And now it talks about His present ministry as the high priest and His ministry of intercession for every believer. And this is the God that we are praying to. This is the God that we are praying to. The all-powerful God, the creator, the sustainer, the savior, the one who is at the right hand now, who is interceding for us, whose plan is perfect. This is the God. And so, God is telling us this. Be anxious for nothing. I don't want you to be anxious for anything. Whatever is troubling you, just give it to me. Right? In prayer. So, whether it's something specific, be thankful and understand that you are inferior and I am superior. Now, God is not saying this to put us down. God is trying to make us understand as to how great He is, that He is our Heavenly Father and we as His children can ask Him anything and He will give it to us. And once we do that, what is the effect? That's verse 7. And that's beautiful, the effect. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So suppose you are troubled, you are agitated, no problem. Take a prayer break, right? Shut down everything. Just give it over to God. And once you give it over to God, what's going to happen? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, is going to guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? So that's the second point, how we can have a peaceful mind, how we can have the peace of God on an experiential level through prayer. And then the third thing is in verse 8 and 9 is the third point, how we can have a mindset of peace, how we can be people who are always peaceful. Not having hypertension or blood pressure or not being stressed all the time, not being on the edge all the time. How can we do? In verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things or think on these things. Again, present imperative active. And what does it mean? Now, what is the input I put into my mind through what I read or through what I hear? Should be an input which is from the Word. Because what is true? The Word of God is true. What is noble? The Word of God is noble. What is just and right? The Word of God. What is pure? The Word of God. What is lovely and of a good report and is virtuous and is something which can be praised? It is the Word of God. And what is Paul saying? You take it in and you meditate on it. And that word is logizomai. You charge it to your mind, or you put it into the account of your mind and you think about these things. You think about these things constantly. So this is important. Experientially, there is a negative side. I have these troublesome thoughts. So I give it over to God and now my mind is free. But my mind shouldn't be empty. Now what do I fill my mind with? I fill my mind with that which is from the Word of God. And I meditate on it and I think about it. So it's very important to ask yourself this question. What are you feeding yourself on a daily basis? Are you getting up in the morning and running to the newspaper to see the newspaper or to see your phone as to what is happening around you? Or are you and I running to the Bible to go before God and see what He wants to speak to us? That makes the difference. That makes the difference. And when we think about these things, what happens is this. In verse 9, the things which you learnt and received and heard and saw in me, these do or practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, Paul is telling the Philippian church to look at him as an example. This is also there in Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and know those who so walk. So he is using his life as an example. But if you look at Paul's life, what he was, what he taught them, what they received from him, what they heard from him and saw in him, was basically nothing which was from Paul himself. But it was a reflected life which was from the Word of God. Right? It was from the Word of God. And yes, God will use men of God to inspire us to be godly and to be spiritual. But and it's good, but no man of God is perfect. The only perfect example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the Word. And therefore, we take in the Word. So that which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, this you practice. So we take in the Word, we meditate on it, we think about it, and we practice. And what happens? The God of peace is with me. See, now you and I, we enter into a mindset of peace or a lifestyle of peace. I'm characterized as a man or a woman who is relaxed, who is peaceful, not through my own effort or through my own goodness, but through the grace which is coming to me through the Word of God. And so this is so important today, where we don't need to be anxious today. We don't need to be anxious. So in conclusion today, this is talking about those things that we are conscious about. Those worries, those troubles, those cares we are conscious about. But when you come to Matthew 6, when Jesus talks about prayer, he makes this beautiful statement in chapter 6, verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. And in verse 6, 32, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know what is interesting? This is the thing which God wants us to do for those things we are conscious about. But for those, there are many, many things in our lives which we are not conscious about. You and I were not conscious about the coronavirus 6 months ago, but God was conscious about it. You know, recently I met Felix and Sharon and saw their baby. And the only thing the baby can do is cry. Cry for milk, cry when the baby wets himself. But the parents are doing so many things which the baby is not conscious about. And this is important today. We have a Heavenly Father who is conscious about all our needs, even those needs that we are not conscious about. Last Sunday evening, we received a Rima as we were doing a Q&A after the evening service in Koramangala. And the Rima was this, that God didn't start loving us at the point of salvation. God loves everyone, believers and unbelievers, from the time you are born in your mother's womb. In Psalm 139 and in Galatians 1, I think 15, Paul says he had a purpose for me in my mother's womb. God has loved us all through. God has given us logistical grace. In Matthew 5, he makes the sun to rise on us and the rain to fall on us. God didn't start providing for us the moment we got saved. No, God has been providing for us ever since we were in our mother's womb and we were at our mother's breast. But the point is, we became conscious about who he is the day we got saved. And that talks about the loving character of God the Father and his care for us. So don't worry about your job. If you have lost a job, don't worry. If you are on half salary, don't worry. If you're finding it difficult to work from home, through video conferencing. Don't worry about it. If you are worried about your children, their academic year, the future, don't worry about it. If you are scared you'll get virus, don't worry about it. Why? Because God is saying, be anxious for nothing. Amen? Be anxious. We have what? Number one, we have a standing, a position. We have peace with God. Number two, on an experiential level, I need to make a choice to give my worries to God, and I can have the peace of God, which surpasses and guards my mind and heart. And then what can happen? I can have a lifestyle of peace and a mindset of peace because the God of peace is with me. So in closing today, the Word of God is extremely important. We need to read the Word on a daily basis. We need to hear the Word preached as regularly as possible. We need to meditate on the Word. We need to make decisions to think right thoughts and to get those thoughts from the Word of God. That is a decision you and I make. And what will that produce in us? That will produce in us a peace which the world cannot give us, a peace which passes understanding. And that is the cure for anxiety. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today and ministering to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.